In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. A lot of times people wonder, how can I pray? People don't know how to pray. Well, if we listen to the church's prayers, they will be a great guide for us. Not only the prayers in the prayer book, which teach us how to pray theologically, because we're praying them personally at home, but also the prayers in our services, including the simple ones, the ones that we hear all the time, the ones that are repeated, where we basically say something and then Lord of mercy, or grant this, or Lord, or sometimes Lord of mercy three times. This is repeated over and over again, and there's a reason for that. It's because it's important. Important things are repeated. A lot of times people think repeated things are not so important because they're sort of passé. We just hear it all the time. And people who are Protestant might come into our services and say, boy, that's boring and that's repetitive. But actually, it's repetitive for a reason, and it's not boring. It's not boring because we are trying to teach ourselves how to pray, and we're thick-headed and we're flinty-hearted, and we have to learn how to get all that flint off our heart and make our hearts soft, and how to really be able to pray with attention. So I just want to give you an indication of this in the Ectenia that is at the end of Vespers. It's also at the end of Matins. And it's a very long Ectenia with lots of stuff in it that is the same every time. The first part is the Litany of Supplication. Then there's the augmented Ectenia. And we should listen carefully. If you listen carefully to the services, you'll see that the prayer for peace is there all the time. It must be important. It must be important then. It must be that we're not so peaceful if we have to ask for it so often. It must be that there must be stuff that we must do to become more peaceful if we ask for peace so often. But I want to look at the second part of the Ectenia. It's called the augmented Ectenia. In Vespers, it's after we say Vatsefo, Lord, and the rest of that hymn. And then we say this second part of the Ectenia. We're saying, let us complete our evening prayer to the Lord. The reason we're saying evening prayer is because, of course, Vespers is served in the evening, although it is the beginning of the day, because in the scripture there was the evening and the day and the morning and one day. So the Jewish reckoning of time, and we have the same reckoning, is that the evening begins the day. But it does not begin our day biologically, because we are creatures of the light. And we need light. We function better in light. Our working period is during the day when there's light, not during the evening. So there's a sort of a dichotomy there. And the evening is a time of sort of thinking about our sins and also thinking about, Vespers talks about creation, because that first psalm at the beginning, and the reason why is because the world was created in the evening. And so we are sort of being meditative a little bit. We're kind of thinking about things. And we're thinking about our mortality and our sins and our needs. And we're presenting them before the Lord. If you're not sure what to present before the Lord, the simplest thing to do is say, Lord, have mercy, if you understand what mercy means. If you don't totally understand mercy, and it's not common for people to totally understand mercy, then you can pray for these kinds of petitions for yourself and for others. So we say, let us complete our evening prayer unto the Lord. And then we say, help us, save us, have mercy on us, and keep us, O God, by thy grace. When we don't live by the grace of God, we go in the wrong direction. When we're not aware of the abiding presence of God in our life and being guided by him, then we are going the wrong way. Things go bad when we are not abiding in the grace of God. And the grace of God is not a thing. The grace of God is a him. The grace of God is God. It is God's presence. God's presence is God in us. He is helping us. He is enlightening us. He is teaching us. He is consoling us. He is rebuking us. He is doing whatever is necessary for the salvation of our soul. And so we are asking him to help us, save us, have mercy on us, and keep us by his grace. You cannot study too much how to live by the grace of God. It is impossible to master that subject. living by the grace of God is to completely depend on Him for all things and to see Him in all things and to give thanks to Him for all things and to submit to Him in all things. So it's a very high calling to live by the grace of God. Then we say that the whole evening may be perfect, holy, peaceful, and sinless. Let us ask of the Lord. This prayer is, we're asking for something that at the moment we ask it is impossible. Are we going to be perfect, holy, peaceful, and sinless this evening? It's unlikely. But we ask for it because that is our goal. Because that is what we're called to do. We're called to become perfect, holy, peaceful, and sinless. Christianity is perfection. The soul being perfected. It's not just a legalistic idea that God saves us in our current condition. God is bringing us to healthfulness. He's bringing us out of darkness into light. So all these things that we're asking for, we are becoming right now. Now, maybe we're not going to do a good job tonight. Maybe we will. But no matter how good a job we do tonight, we can do better because the Lord is helping us to become perfect. So we pray for perfection. And indeed, the Lord will answer that prayer. But remember, the Lord answers prayers according to His timing and not according to ours. So indeed, this prayer is answered, but it's answered in a stepwise fashion. I'm fascinated that we are definitely called to perfection. And perfection means lacking nothing. Perfection means making no mistakes, no sin, no darkness, no anything that is not like God. And yet, every single step we take in this world is imperfect. How can you take all imperfection and make it perfection? Only by the grace of God. It's impossible to do by man's power. And if we're living by the grace of God and we're taking an imperfect step, no matter how good we were, no matter how much love we show, there's some amount of imperfection in everything we do. The Lord will make it perfect. And so that we're asking Him to do that. We're reminding ourselves that that's what's important. Whether or not we get our laundry done tonight, or whether or not we study for a test, or whether or not we have this or that or the other thing done, is not important. What is important is we are born to be perfect, holy, peaceful, and sinless. So we ask the Lord to help us to do this. So this prayer is as much for me, I hope it is for you, as much as it is a real petition, asking for these things, it's really a reminder. It's like, buddy, you need to pray for these things. You need to be these things. That's what you're born for. You're not born for the other stuff. Then we ask for an angel of peace, a faithful guide, a guardian of our souls and of our bodies. So there definitely is a guardian angel. He definitely is helping us. The guardian angel is around us and keeping us safe. There's that saying in the scriptures, right, where there was all these armies that were invisible, right, that could be seen, and someone was scared. I don't remember it exactly. Right now I'm forgetting my scripture. Where was that, David? The whole armies, remember? Where was it? Was it in Isaiah?
Yes.
Yeah, it's in Isaiah. And there's been other occurrences where people have seen it in the history of the church, that sort of thing, where one guardian angel can defeat the entire phalanx of all of the demons. Every single one of them. One solitary guardian angel is stronger than all of the demons. So we have one guardian angel. And he's keeping us safe from everything. If the guardian angel and the grace of God did not preserve us, we would be insane in a moment. And we would be out in the street stabbing each other or cursing or doing some sort of foul thing. And the demons would be inhabiting us. But the Lord will not let that happen. The guardian angel is protecting us. And we're aware of His abiding presence. So you should pray to your guardian angel daily. And you should try your best to not grieve your guardian angel. Because your guardian angel is like a dove. Doves love things that are clean. Well, I had some doves once that didn't. But wild doves in general will prefer to have things clean. If something's dirty, they don't want to be around it. And certainly the honeybee, right? The honeybee takes nectar. It doesn't go to excrement. It goes to nectar. The fly goes to excrement. Your guardian angel is like the honeybee. Will wants to be around you when you are thinking of purifying things and good things. When you are not, you grieve your guardian angel. And an Orthodox Christian should very much not want to grieve his guardian angel. It's not a matter of being afraid. It's a matter of love. So you just like a person doesn't want to grieve his father and make his father ashamed of him, not because he thinks his father is going to kick him out of the house or curse him or beat him, but because he loves his father and wants to honor his father. The same way, we have to be aware of the presence of our guardian angel and want to please him. And of course, we can be pleasing our guardian angel and pleasing God. If we are pleasing God, we are pleasing our guardian angel. And vice versa. Because there's nothing that pleases our guardian angel that wouldn't be pleasing to God. So we are asking that the guardian angel would be around us and protecting us. Then we say, pardon and remission of our sins, let us ask of the Lord. We are very much aware that we are sinful. We talk about our sins in our prayers all the time. It's very important to be able to remember this constantly, but not in a way that we say, I'm a sinful, terrible person, I can't do anything right. That's just mental illness. I'm a sinful, terrible person, but God will help me. Because I am destined for perfection, despite my sins. And yet still we should ask for pardon and remission of our sins. Absolutely. Then we say things good and profitable for our souls and peace for the world. If you want to know what to pray for someone, how about praying for things good and profitable for their souls and peace in their heart? If you have peace in your heart, that must mean that you have God in your heart. If you have God in your heart, that means there's nothing else in your heart. And you have life. So we're praying for peace for the world, and we're praying for good and profitable things for everyone. Now we know that Christian peace is not the same as the world's peace. The world's peace is first of all temporary, and often it is dishonest. Often it is based on two opposing forces basically making compromises with one another. That's not Christian peace. Christian peace is when the heart is completely like God, when the heart loves no matter what. If someone is literally torturing you and you can pray for them, then you have peace. Remember Stephen? He said, Father, forgive them, right? That's the same kind of idea. He asked God to forgive him even as he was being stoned. That's Christian peace. Worldly peace is where we say, okay, we won't be hostile with each other for this reason or that reason. And until something breaks down, we'll be copacetic with one another. Christian peace is, I will love everyone, no matter what they do to me. That's Christian peace. And that's what we're asking for, peace for the world. Now, will everyone in the world have this peace? Unfortunately not. We see examples of it every day in our day-to-day life. That there's not this kind of peace. But we must strive for this kind of peace. That's why we pray for it. Repetitively, in Matins and in Vespers and in Divine Liturgy, every single day of the year, we pray for this peace. Then we say, that we may complete the remaining time of our life in peace and repentance, let us ask of the Lord. We are always thinking of the end of our life. A Christian is always thinking of death. Now, people don't like to think of death, but we must think of death. We must have the remembrance of death. And I've talked about this very often. It's a skill that you must build. It's not just saying, I know I'm going to die. I mean, people say they know they're going to die, and then they go do terrible things because it's sort of far off for them. Or perhaps sometimes people, because of the fear of death, they actually do try to get their sinning in. The fathers talk about that. They don't quite say it in the colloquial way I just said it, but basically the fear of death actually brings people, pushes them towards sin. We're not afraid of death, but we are aware of death. And we are aware of death working in us, and we want to get rid of all that death that's working in us. So we're making this comparison all the time of life and death. And we're trying to choose life, and we're trying to be rid of death. So we're asking the Lord to help us with this, because it's a very difficult thing, because there's a lot of subtleties where we might be choosing death and not even know it. Then we say a Christian ending to our life, painless, blameless, peaceful, and a good defense before the dread judgment seat of Christ, let us ask. We're humbly asking the Lord to help us. Now, I remember when I was in college and I
got into Campus Crusade for Christ, and they had this sort of Protestant idea. You ask Jesus in your heart, and then you're saved, and then you go to the student union, and you kind of hoodwink people into listening to you about this spiel, and you get them saved, too, by basically asking Jesus in your heart, and then you're saved, and then you go on with the rest of your life. This is not the Christian way of life. One of the questions that they asked was, if you were to die tonight, what would you say to the Lord as you stand before him as far as why you should be in heaven? And the Christian answer to that is, I wouldn't be standing. And number two, I have nothing to say. It is by God's mercy that I'm saved. People don't understand that. Orthodox Christians do. If you pray these prayers often enough and with enough effort, then you understand it. But it can't really be explained, because people say, you're not sure of your salvation? Well, no, not exactly. It's not that. It's that I don't deserve to be saved. I'm a sinner. And yet, even though I'm a sinner, I see God working through me. I see good things happening through me, sometimes through my hands, through the things that I'm doing, through the people that I encounter. I'm not pretending that good doesn't happen around me, but good is happening from somebody who's bad. So I'm aware that only by grace am I saved. Therefore, we pray, by God's grace, save us. We're not begging him as if we're literally drowning and there's one tiny little possibility that we could be taken out of the water. We're not begging him like that. We're just saying, I'm unworthy. God save me. It's a very healthy way to pray. Then you don't get full of yourself and think that you're something that you're not. And there's a humility. That humility opens your heart to God. And when your heart is open to God, God comes in. And then he fills your whole heart. And the God of the universe, who created everything, contains himself inside you. And then you're saved. Now that's a process that's happening. So it's taking time. I hope that you listen to these prayers carefully when you come to the church services, at least most of the time. Let's be honest with ourselves. Sometimes a litany goes by and we couldn't remember what was said, right? Sometimes priests will do this. We'll say a prayer, we'll say a litany, and we might do something and we go, oh, did I say that already? I can't remember if I said that. I just said it a second ago, and I literally can't remember what I said, right? Because our attention gets out of whack. But for the most part, listen to these things and let it guide the way you pray for others and for yourself. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.